Lord, we bless you and we enthrone you on our praise right now. Come on, people of God, speak to him right now. Say, we want more of you, Jesus. We want more of your presence, Holy Spirit. You're our one thing, you're our only desire. Thank you, Jesus.
Overcome.
Just give God a shout of praise right now. Thank you, Lord. Oh, amen. Amen. Whew, the Spirit is working today. Come on, He's so good. This has been an awesome time of worship. Right now, you can turn to the person next to you, greet them, and then you can turn your attention to the screen.
Everyone, we're so glad you're joining us, whether you're with us online or in person. Here are a few things you need to know. There are a lot of great things happening at Harvest Time. Here are a few ways you can get involved right now. To check out all things that are going on, scan the QR code or visit hdchurch.com.
If you'd like to give, you can visit us at hdchurch.com, click on Give at the top of the page, or use our Realm Connect app to set up reoccurring giving, or give at any time using the Harvest Time offering envelopes.
We have so many amazing opportunities to believe, belong, and be light. For more information on all things Harvest Time, meet us at the Connect Desk. We love you, Harvest Time Church, and have an amazing week.
You have a 100% chance of success in marriage. You just need to do it God's way.
A strong marriage rarely has two strong people at the same time, but it's often a husband and wife who take turns being strong for each other in the moments the other is weak, and then together realizing that it's Jesus who's holding you.
May the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace as you hold hands with one another.
Good morning, Harvest Time Church. How's everyone doing? Who's already tired of digging out from snow? Whose back is on fire right now and needs some prayer? Because mine is right now. Welcome to church. It's so good to have you here. Thank you for braving the cold weather and the snow and your driveway and being here this morning. It's such a privilege to be able to start off the week in the house of the Lord, worshiping, having a blast, getting to meet people, see friends, and all that good stuff. Hey, really quick. We just saw a video of the XO conference, our marriage conference. By a show of hands, who here has a perfect marriage? Just go ahead and raise your hand. Frank, you have a perfect marriage. Frank will be teaching the marriage conference coming up in a couple of weeks. We're not even going to zoom in, beam in anybody. You know what? Jimmy Evans has got nothing on Frank. So, but you know what? Here's the thing. We all could get better in our marriage. We could all get better in our relationships. And I love that we're going to be a part of something really cool, which is we're going to be part of the Marriage XO Conference. And if that's you, if you're going, you know what, in 2022, I would like to have just a 10% better marriage or 100% better marriage, wherever you find yourself in that scale, this would be a great time to be a part of it. It's going to be a Friday night and then into a Saturday. And it's a lot of fun, a lot of great couples. If you're in here and maybe you're new to church and you're looking for other married couples, this would be a great place to also meet other married couples and to hang out and get to know them and be a part of it. So definitely talk to myself or Pastor Kim right after the service at the Connect Lounge. You can also go to our website and find that information, sign up, and get tickets. But last year's conference was incredible, and I believe it's going to grow and continue to be a great place to not only grow in your relationship with your spouse, grow in your relationship with others, but really, let's face it, if we've been married for longer than 5 minutes, you know one thing, you need Jesus desperately in your marriage. Can I get an amen from all the married couples? Really, that's the amen of the married couples. A little smattering of applause. Yes, you're right. I do need Jesus. I'm desperate for Jesus. We've been married 18 years. I need him every day more. Actually, Des needs her more, him more. But anyways, I digress. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. It's good to have you. Hey, by the way, for anybody who has youth students, we have about 20 spots left in our youth winter retreat, so make sure you sign up. Don't do one of those things like, I'll get to it next day or tomorrow. Just sign up today. Reserve that spot. It's going to be an incredible youth retreat. It's going to be just an awesome time for the youth in our world to really just go and gather around Jesus and worship and pray and talk and just be young and have fun and also make Jesus the center of everything. So make sure if you're a parent, sign up your kid now. Who cares if they want to go? I always tell my kids, like, you don't pay any bills. You don't have any decision as to what you can or can't do. You're going. You're going to school. You're going to, like, so just go ahead and sign your kid up and just tell them they're busy that weekend and they're going to be at youth retreat. It's going to be awesome. Well, my work here is done. I think I'll be enough. Hey, guys, did you guys know that church should be enjoyed, not endured? Sometimes you have to remind your face that you chose to be here, and it's good to just smile and laugh in the presence of the Lord. There's joy. You know, Spirit of the Lord, there is joy. Like, we got to have some fun sometimes and just smile and go, you know what? Bad jokes are still good jokes. I'm throwing my best stuff up here. This is the best I got. I told Des, I'm funny twice a month. And one of these days, it'll show up on a Sunday, and it'll be awesome, and you'll really appreciate it. But I love that we get to be together. But we're going to take a moment and come around to our giving. And can we give it up to everybody, our HTC family who is watching us online? Can we turn around and look at the camera and just say thank you so much to everybody who continues to faithfully Zoom in, YouTube in. But if you're going to be giving, there's an envelope that you received in your program, and you can give that way. It's really simple. You can give by text, which is easy. You can give online. For those of us who are watching on YouTube, you can click the HTC. You can click the link that comes up, and you can give that way. But thank you so much, week in and week out, for faithfully building into God's house. It's because of your generosity. We continue to reach everybody in this area, but really, we continue to keep the gospel moving forward, keep the doors of this church open, keep the lights on, and continue to see God move in a mighty and incredible way. So thank you so much for doing that. But I want to encourage you with a scripture. Paul writes this to the church. He says, each one of you must decide in their heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I love that giving and being generous is not something that is just a reaction to pressure. It's actually something that we decide ahead of time and go, you know what? I'm going to choose to be generous. And I love that when we choose to be generous, what does God do? He just pours out his love because he loves a cheerful giver. Just know right now, if you've chosen to give this morning, or if you're going, you know what, I want to choose to give, that God is looking at you going, man, I love that. I love that heart. I love that generosity. It brings joy to the heart of our Father to watch his kids learn how to be generous. So just know that as you give this morning, whether you give just by text or however it is, just know that God loves a cheerful giver. And if that's you, guess what? Just an extra scoop of God's love this morning on you. Cool? Why don't you hold your gift in your hand? If you give by text or you give automatically, just hold your phone in your hand. Just a symbolic gesture of choosing and deciding to be generous. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you love a cheerful giver. So, Lord, as we give, Lord, let us give with that same joy, that same anticipation, that same excitement. Father, we pray that what is brought in supernaturally goes further than we ever could have imagined. You can take a dollar and make it 100. You can take a penny and change lives. So, Lord, whatever comes in, Father, we pray that you would just move. Lord, we pray for everybody who cheerfully, faithfully decides to give. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. Bless their businesses. Bless their families. Bless their kids, Lord. Bless the dreams and desires that are in their hearts, the endeavors that you've called them to. Open up supernatural windows in heaven over their life, Lord. We love you, God. We thank you. And in the name of Jesus, we say, amen. As you are doing that, why don't you turn your attentions to the screen?
God bless you, everybody. Great to see you this morning in the Lord's house. Pastor Glenn has really an awesome word for us this morning, but just before Pastor comes to share the word, I'm going to invite our sister Julie Cast, if she'll come and join me here on the platform. Let's welcome Julie as she comes. For those of you that might not have met Julie, Julie is a member here at HTC, and she's been using her gifts for the Lord for a lot of years in the field of education. More recently, she's been responding in her heart to the Lord's call to prepare for ministry. Julie is a student at Alliance Theological Seminary down in the city. She is pursuing a Master's of Divinity degree, and part of that educational experience is for her to take an internship and work a bit in a local church. So we're very delighted to let you know this morning that Julie's going to be coming on board with us, working alongside of our pastors and working in the congregation for the next few months as a ministry intern. And we're so excited about that, Julie. Amen. Amen. So as you run into Julie in the halls or in a classroom or wherever you see her, just encourage her, let her know that you're praying for her. And I'm going to let Julie greet you for just a moment.
Good morning, Harvest Time. I am so grateful to be here. Thank you, Pastor Glenn and Pastor Nick, for this opportunity. It's just so awesome. And I thank God for the opportunity to serve him by serving my Harvest Time family. So thank you. Thanks, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Stretch forth your hands and let's pray God's blessing over Julie today. Father, thank you so much for Julie. Thank you for the gift that she is to our church family. And thank you, Lord, for all of the gifts that you've placed within her life, God. We pray that this next season of time will be a season in which all of those gifts can blossom, Lord, and bring forth even more fruit than they have already. God, give her the anointing, the grace, and the wisdom that she needs, Lord God, to just flourish and minister effectively, Lord God, and fruitfully to our Harvest Time family, Lord. And just bless her family, bless her education, Lord. Just bless everything that concerns her life today. We give you thanks, and we welcome her with joy in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, going to share with you for a few minutes about embracing our destiny in 2022. Matthew chapter 11. Want to welcome everybody that's worshiping with us on live stream today. We're so glad that you're here. Amanda Yuva is home, Pastor Nick and Patty's number one daughter, and she's brought some friends with her. God bless you, Amanda. We're glad next time you come, you'll sing for us. So y'all been getting slammed down there in the Carolinas, so I'm glad you came up north where the weather's a little bit more fair. So we're glad to see you. Thank you, Pastor Blaze, for that stand-up routine. So everybody's warmed up. So you're about to hear the best sermon you've ever heard on John the Baptist, all right? Are you ready to receive the word of the Lord? You ready to hear God's word? All right, Matthew chapter 11. Going to start reading in verse 2. Matthew 11, verse 2. The Bible says, when John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Jesus replied, go back and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed in the wind? If not, what did you go see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes live in king's palaces. Then what did you go to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. That is the one about whom is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way before you. Truly, I tell you that among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist, listen to these words. This is the verse we're going to key on. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful people seize hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you're willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let him hear. To what can I compare this generation? They're like children sitting in the marketplace, calling out to others, we played the pipe for you and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge and you didn't mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her children's deeds. Let's talk for a few minutes about embracing our destiny in 2022. You know, each week I do my very best to bring you the now word from the Lord. Ever since our friend Dennis Goldsworthy Davis came and brought a prophetic word to us, I have been praying into that prophetic word. You know, when you receive a word, that's what you do. You pray into that word. You pray that God will expand that revelation and that it'll bear witness with your heart. And you pray that God will let it come to pass. The Lord told us, grab the heel of destiny. And there is an urgency in my spirit that we not let this moment pass us by. My prayer is that 2022 will be the year that we step into the fulfillment of all the prophetic words that have gone ahead of us. I know in my heart the Lord told us to build this new sanctuary, and the purpose is to host a last day's outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this region. I know that when it comes, this place is going to be far too small to contain what God is doing, and my prayer is that it will begin this year. While I was praying into the prophetic word, the Holy Spirit just brought these words again to my memory from Jesus. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing, and forceful people seize hold of it. Looking at Jesus and John the Baptist, I want to share a few thoughts with you today about how we can embrace our destiny in 2022. How can we embrace our destiny personally and as a church this year? On your way in, you received a program. And in your program, there's an outline of today's sermon. And if you like, you can listen, watch the screens, fill in the blanks, and follow along. If you'd like to have an outline at home, for those of you that are live streaming, there's a link to a PDF file in the chat section. And you can click on that and have an outline of today's sermon. How can we embrace our destiny personally and as a church in 2022? A few thoughts. First of all, act your age. Act your age. Since last year, we've been studying the most wonderful life of all, the life of Jesus. If you're reading through the Bible with us in 2022, I want you to take notice as we read the Gospels together how much the lives and the ministries of John the Baptist and Jesus were intertwined with each other. John the Baptist was born about 6 months before Jesus. John's birth was a prophetic sign and a precursor of Jesus' birth. They were cousins in some fashion. You know, my kids always ask me when we are with relatives, they always ask me, anything beyond first cousins, I can't figure out what to call it. So anybody that's not a first cousin, if my kids ask me, how are we related? I say, it's your second cousin twice removed. So John and Jesus were second cousins twice removed. John started his public ministry about 6 months before Jesus began his public ministry. John actually launched Jesus into ministry. John identified Jesus. John baptized Jesus. For the first year of public ministry, Jesus worked side by side with John at the Jordan River in the vicinity of Jerusalem. You can find that in John chapter 1. When John the Baptist was arrested by Herod Antipas, Jesus moved his ministry up north to Galilee. During Jesus' second year of public ministry, he had explosive popularity in Galilee. Massive crowds followed him. When John the Baptist was executed, Jesus withdrew from Galilee and went to areas outside of Herod Antipas' jurisdiction. During Jesus' third year of ministry, he faced increasing hostility from the Jewish leadership and rejection from the Jewish people because he wasn't the political liberator they wanted him to be. Even during the Passion Week, when the Pharisees challenged Jesus' authority in the temple, Jesus appealed to the ministry of John the Baptist as a sign of his true identity. So here's what I want you to realize. All the way from birth to death, the lives of John and Jesus were intertwined, and the major turning points in Jesus' ministry followed major turning points in the life of John. But even though, did you know that? You learned something new today. You're in Bible School 101, all right? I paid thousands of dollars to learn that information. I just gave it to you for free. Even though John and Jesus were born just a few months apart, they were ages apart in God's timing. John belonged to the old age that is passing away, and Jesus is the founder of a new age that is dawning. And both John and Jesus acted appropriately according to the age to which they belonged. John was the very last and the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets. John's age was the time of the Old Covenant, letters written on tablets of stone. John's age was a time of failure and frustration. St. Paul says that the law of Moses brought condemnation and death, not because there was anything wrong with the law, but because we're just too weak to keep the law. John's age was a time of hopeful anticipation. It was a time of waiting and longing. It was a time of shadows of the Messiah yet to be revealed. What set John apart from every other prophet before him is that John himself was the subject of prophecies. John was the one coming in the spirit and the anointing of Elijah, the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord that Malachi wrote about. John was the greatest of all the prophets because he identified Jesus specifically. All the other prophets pointed toward Jesus, but John pointed him out definitively. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Here he is. All the pieces of the prophetic puzzle come together in him. You know, there's a lot of talk this weekend about the retirement of Brady, but, you know, Jesus told us who was the goat. John was the goat, the greatest of all times. Although they started out side by side, John and Jesus were very different from one another. John lived and ministered consistent with his age, an Old Testament prophet, but Jesus was something else. Jesus inaugurated the age of the new covenant. Jesus' age is the time of fulfillment. No more waiting, but it's time for celebrating. No more longing, but joyful satisfaction. Jesus' age is the time of overflowing grace. When the day of final judgment is deferred for a little while longer, Jesus' age is the time of divine forgiveness and reconciliation to God. It's the time when the door of salvation is wide open and all may enter in through his powerful name. Thank you for that golf clap. Jesus' age is the time of the indwelling Holy Spirit who writes God's laws on our hearts and supernaturally empowers us to keep them. Jesus' age is the time of signs and wonders and miracles. Jesus' age is when the blind see and the deaf hear, when the lame walk, when the terminally ill are healed, when the dead are resuscitated and good news is preached to the poor. That's why even though that John was the goat, the greatest of his era, Jesus said the least, even the least in the kingdom of heaven is a greater witness than John. Jesus' age is when God's power and dominion on earth are forcefully advancing and the devil is clawing and scratching, trying to maintain control. The kingdom of God is on the offensive and the devil is on the defense. Jesus' age is the time of the church, the body of Christ, the family of God, gathered from all nations and all walks of life, united in him, and the gates of hell shall not withstand our forward progress and our proclamation of Jesus. Jesus' age is when the church has authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the works of the enemy. Jesus' age is when the church has authority to bind the demonic strong men and liberate the captives in his house. Listen this morning. We belong to Jesus' age. And now it's our turn to start living and ministering consistently with that. Like John the Baptist, we are also the subject of prophecies. We are the ones that Joel wrote about and Peter announced. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit, and I'll show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus already told us to act our age. Before Jesus ascended to the Father, Jesus commissioned us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, and these signs shall accompany those. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. If they take anything hurtful, it won't harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Acting our age means to be fully engaged in God's business in this world. It means to be about the work of proclaiming Jesus with signs and wonders following. It means to be people of the Spirit, supernaturally empowered to live holy lives and to do the works of Christ. It means to be engaged in the work of trampling serpents and scorpions and binding strong men, meaning demonic powers, so that Christ can set the captives free. That's what we witnessed last week when we saw those beautiful men from Teen Challenge set free by the liberating power of Jesus. Acting our age means to keep on sharing Christ until the knowledge of the glory of God covers the earth like the waters cover the sea. On Wednesday nights, Pastor Nick and Pastor Denise and Pastor Ruth and our friends Brian and Terry Kelly, they're all leading groups to help us get better at acting our age. Denise is sharing about the glory within, the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Pastor Nick sharing about life in the Spirit, being used in the gifts of the Spirit. Pastor Ruth is teaching on deliverance ministry. Our friends the Kellys are teaching on being used by God in prophecy. I hope you'll join us. Listen, if we want to seize hold of our destiny, then we must act our age. How can we embrace our destiny personally and as a church in 2022? Number one, act your age. Number two, live your calling. Live your calling. The differences between John the Baptist and Jesus confused the crowds, especially John's followers. John was hardcore. For most of his adolescence and young adult years, he lived in solitude in the wilderness, just as Elijah had centuries before him. John wore a prophet's coat made from camel's hair, like Elijah's. He had an austere diet of locusts and honey, and all God's people said, yuck. John preached a bold message, calling Israel to repent and confronting morally corrupt and compromised leaders. He was no reed shaking in the wind. That was an expression of the rabbis. John didn't change his tune. He didn't change his message depending on what audience was in front of him to tickle itching ears. John was called to minister in the Spirit and the anointing of Elijah, and he lived his calling all the way. Jesus was called to inaugurate the new covenant in his blood. Rather than a prophet's coat, Jesus wore a high priest's robe of fine linen with no seam in it. Jesus was a friend of sinners, sharing dinners with people who had given up on religion or upon whom religion had given up. Jesus offered forgiveness in place of striving. He offered mercy in place of judgment. He offered love in place of wrath. Jesus lived his calling all the way. And here's the message for us today. Now God wants us to live our calling all the way. Living our calling, it guides what we give the bulk of our time and our energy to. St. Paul wrote, I forget everything else that came before, and I press forward to take hold of God's calling. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing in the world, and forceful people seize hold of it. Living our calling determines how and where and with whom we spend our time. It regulates our diet, what we feed our minds, what we feed our spirits, what we read, what we watch on screens of every size, what we listen to. Living our calling governs our bodies, what we put on them, what we put in them, what we do with them and to them. You are not your own. You've been bought by a price. Living our calling determines how we conduct ourselves, how we speak to people, how we treat them. Listen, 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 listen. Living our calling is the wisest way that we could possibly expend our lives. Wisdom is proved right by her children's deeds. John had a call and he wisely lived it. Jesus had a different call, and he wisely lived that. John and Jesus are wisdom's children, and we are wisdom's children too if we live our calling all the way. I have a word from the Holy Spirit. I don't know whether it's someone sitting here or someone watching on live stream, but somebody listen and receive this. It is time to stop playing games and get serious about our call. Matthew 11 has a few sayings of Jesus that are a little bit hard to understand because we live far away from first century Israel. But it becomes easier when we discover that Jesus used an illustration from everyday life that we can easily relate to. While moms shopped in the outdoor market, their kids played games in the street. Because boys are made from snips and snails and puppy dog tails, boys wanted to pretend to play that they were in a funeral procession. Boys enjoy being morbid. At funerals, women were the professional mourners, wailing and making a fuss. And so the boys wanted to play in the street, this game funeral procession, and they wanted the girls to weep and cry and make a big fuss. But girls, of course, are made from sugar and spice and everything nice. The girls didn't want to play gloomy old funeral procession. They wanted to play wedding instead. At Jewish weddings, the men dance, and so the girls wanted the boys to be merry and dance, which the boys were not about to do. When I was a kid, the neighborhood boys always wanted to play cops and robbers, or cowboys and Indians, and the girls always wanted to play school or house. Who on earth wants to play school while you're on summer break from school? And the girls always wanted to be the teachers. They wanted to be in charge. Anybody else? Anybody else? Can you connect with that? They always wanted to be in charge. They wanted to tell the boys what to do. It always ended in a big argument and everybody walked away. Some things haven't changed since Jesus' day. Jesus rebuked the people of Galilee for playing the same kind of games with God. John didn't feast or drink, and they said he had a demon. Jesus attended dinner parties with fine food and wine, and they said he was a glutton. John was too austere. Jesus was too indulgent. John was too pious. Jesus was too irreverent. John was too serious. Jesus was too playful. Somebody, you listen to me. Here's the thing. When you're not serious about answering God's call, you will always find an excuse not to surrender to Him. I felt that. When you're not serious about answering His call, you will always find an excuse for not surrendering. You'll always find a fault. You'll always find something to criticize, something to give you permission to ignore what God is saying to you. Today's national prophets are too serious. They're too negative. And Joel Osteen, he's too flowery and positive. HTC is too old school. I like being old school. I am old school. I'm going to bring old school back. I'm going to make old school popular again. HTC is too old school, and other places they're too woke. So we're just going to sit on the sidelines and not get involved. Just like in Jesus' day, this generation is like Goldilocks. This porridge is too hot. This porridge is too cold. This bed is too hard. This bed is too soft. And since things aren't just right, they excuse themselves from obeying God. Beloved, somebody listen to me. I feel the presence of God. Stop playing games. Discover your calling in Christ and live it all the way. I have a word. There are people. There are more than one. There are people, people in this congregation. There are people that are part of our HTC family, and you have been wrestling with God over a call to full-time ministry. Stop playing games. I don't mean to be harsh with you, but the Holy Spirit, listen, there was a time in my life, I was a senior in Bible college, and I was playing games with God. This is in my notes. I'm off road now, so I'm in trouble. I just put it in four-wheel drive. I was a senior in Bible college, and I took a ministry position that I knew that the Lord did not want me to take, but I wanted to take it. It was everything that I ever wanted. It was working for my home church, huge church, and my pastor, my father in the Lord, he loved me. He wanted me to groom me to take over the church from him. It was a bigger church than Harvest Time, twice the size. And the Lord said no, but I accepted the job anyway. And I wrestled for 4 months. I was a senior, the last semester of my senior year in Bible college, and me and God weren't on speaking terms for 4 months. I'd pray once a day. I'd go at lunchtime. I'd go into the cafeteria, and I'd bow my head before I ate lunch, and I prayed one thing. I didn't even bless the food, and believe me, it needed to be blessed. I just bowed my head, and I said, God, help me to do the right thing. And finally, just 2 or 3 weeks out of graduation, it was finals time, and I was typing a paper in my room, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me as tough as he ever had. And he said, listen, I'm not playing games with you anymore. He said, you can go take that job, and you can be a career minister, whatever that means, if that's what you want to do, or you can be a man led by my Spirit. And I knew, I got up from my, mid-sentence, I got up from my type, we typed on typewriters back in those days. I got up from my typewriter, and I ran to the prayer room in our dormitory, and I got down on my knees, and I begged God to forgive me for being so stubborn. Listen, I believe the Holy Spirit is talking to somebody today. Please, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. God is saying it's time to stop playing games, and it's time to say yes to his calling. It's time to answer his call. Paul said, I forget everything that is behind me, and I press to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. You know what? The call of God took me thousands of miles away from home to train for ministry, and I never went home again. And you know what? It's all right for me. This is my home. This is where God has called me. And there's no place that I would rather be. I'm living my call all the way. I want you to live your call all the way. And I feel another word from the Holy Spirit. It is not too late for you. Listen, if God called you when you were young and you knew that God wanted to use you in a significant way in ministry and life came along and did what life does and blew everything up and took you in an unexpected direction, I hear a word from the Holy Spirit, somebody listening to me, it is not too late now to answer God's call. Moses, somebody you've said in your heart, in your mind, because life took a few unexpected turns and you ended up doing something you didn't expect to do and living somewhere you didn't expect to live. Some of you have thought, well, you missed it. It was over. No, the Holy Spirit's telling you it's not too late to answer your call. Moses was 80 when he started his ministry career. So if you're less than 80, it's not too late to answer God's call. If you're over 80, it's still not too late to answer God's call. He went to 120. So if you want to know how to stay alive and not die, forget about all your nutrition, you know, your balance of nature, and forget about all these pills and vitamins and potions. You want to know how to live long, just be so valuable for God, he can't afford to take you out. He needs you in his world. Live your calling. All right, now I'm in trouble. I'm really in trouble. Okay. How can we embrace our destiny personally and as a church in 2022? Act your age. Live your calling. You doing all right this morning? One more thought and we're done. Hold on tight to Jesus until divine justice comes. Hold on tight to Jesus until divine justice comes. Everybody listen to me. John the Baptist not only carried Elijah's anointing, but he also shared Elijah's human struggles. In spite of many miraculous victories from the Lord, Elijah became overwhelmed by the prevalence and the persistence of evil. Anybody ever feel like that? Anybody ever feel like, Lord, I feel like I'm emptying the ocean with a teaspoon here? There's so much evil. Lord, who are we against so much evil happening all over in the world? Elijah became overwhelmed. He became discouraged. He became depressed. He wanted to die. In Herod's dungeon, John succumbed to the same discouragement. At the Jordan River, John saw the sign of the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove alight upon Jesus. God told him ahead of time to look for that sign. John says in John chapter 1, I wouldn't have known him except God told me to look for the sign of the dove. And when I saw it, I knew it was him. John heard God's audible voice speak from heaven. This is my beloved son. John witnessed firsthand the power and the impact of Jesus' early ministry. John knew what he knew, but John was confused on why Jesus didn't move to bring justice. Why didn't Jesus move against Herod Agrippa? Why didn't he move against Israel's greedy and compromised leaders? Why didn't Jesus move to get John out of that dungeon? So John sent an incomprehensible question to Jesus. Are you really the one, or should we look for another? Beloved, such is the power of discouragement. Discouragement causes us to question what we know that we know that we know to be true. It causes us to question even God himself. Jesus' reply to John is, just hold on, John. Don't become offended with me because of what you see happening in the world or because of what you don't yet see. Don't lose faith. Don't lose heart. Don't throw in the towel. I believe that Jesus is speaking the same word to us as we watch the whole world going crazy. Jesus is saying, just you hold on now. Hold on tight because Jesus honors your sacrifices. Jesus was fully aware of John's suffering. He was fully aware of the cost of John's obedience. John's battle with discouragement didn't cause Jesus to lose respect for him. Jesus highly esteemed John and heaped praise upon him. What a thought that the infinite God honors us and bestows praises and honor and words of affirmation on us. Listen, if you're fighting discouragement right now, just you hold on tight. Jesus is fully aware of the high cost of your obedience to God. He's fully aware of everything you've sacrificed, including for some even being alone because you refuse to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. In spite of the doubts that you wrestle with, Jesus honors you for your sacrifices. Hold on tight to him. Hold on tight. Because God knows what he's doing. God gave John the hard message that he preached, a stiff warning of imminent judgment. Even now, the axe is laid to the root. Every tree which doesn't bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The one coming behind me, Jesus, has his threshing fork in his hand. He'll separate the wheat. He's going to clean house. The wheat he's going to gather in his barn and save, and he's going to burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. God gave John that hard message. But then John's experience in the world didn't match the message that he believed and that he preached. Rather than bringing judgment, Jesus came announcing mercy. Rather than striking down morally bankrupt leaders, Jesus ate and drank with them. John looked like a fool locked up in a dungeon while Jesus feasted. Can I tell you, sometimes it happens that way. The message that we 100% believe and preach, the exact opposite seems to be happening in the world. You ever have that experience? It's like when St. Paul told the sea captain, don't set sail. There's a big storm coming. And the next day, a favorable, gentle wind from the south blew. Paul looked like an idiot. Thanks, Lord. I'm trying to do your work here. Would you just work with me a little bit? But when that happens, just hold on. Listen, this is a good word. Here's the tweetable line of the day. When God fails to meet our expectations, it's not God who was off the mark, it's our expectations that were off the mark. That's good right there. That's so good. Did I lose you? Are you all right? I'm almost done, I promise. When God fails to meet our expectations, it's not God who is off the mark, it's our expectations that are off the mark. God's plan unfolds in God's own ways and in God's own timing. Trust God, He knows what He's doing. One day Jesus will judge the whole world in righteousness, but in the meantime, Jesus has deferred judgment so that all may be saved. Listen, some believers have been holding on to expectations about what might happen politically in our country, and they're disappointed because things haven't happened the way that they thought or in the timing that they thought. I have a word: let go of your expectations and hold on tight to Jesus. Hold on tight. Here's my last thought, because God will absolutely finish what He started. Unlike this sermon that will never end, God will finish what He started. John sends an inconceivable question to Jesus. Are you the one, or should we look for another? Jesus replies to John in Bible code. Jesus' message to his cousin was, "Be at peace, John, I'm on it." Jesus quoted from the prophet Isaiah, "Tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, good news is preached to the poor." Those same messianic passages in Isaiah also predict in the very next breath the final judgment that John preached so hard. And so Jesus is sending a message in code to John. Be at peace, John. You weren't wrong about the judgment. You were just wrong about the timing. I've already begun fulfilling the messianic prophecies, and I always finish what I start. Divine justice, it will come, just not the way you expected. I have a final word from the Holy Spirit, and we're done. As you look at events, everybody listen to me. Look at me, and I'm done. As you look at events unfolding in the world, don't succumb to frustration. Don't allow disappointment to question what you know to be true. Had a tough week in New York City this week, losing two New York City officers. We're going to pray for their families in just a moment before we leave together. But you know, sometimes it just looks like the darkness is winning. There's a great hymn we used to sing when I was a kid in the Presbyterian church. It's called, "This Is My Father's World." And one of the verses in that hymn says, "This is my Father's world, and though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet." Hold on tight to Jesus, because He always finishes what He starts. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of the one to whom we must all give account. Listen, there may be some injustices that are never redressed in our lifetime, but it's okay. Hold on tight to Jesus, because divine justice will come. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing on earth, and forceful people seize hold of it. Harvest Time Church, let's embrace our destiny in 2022. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place? Oh, come on, don't give Him a wimpy little praise. Give Jesus a great big praise. Come on, give Him a good praise today. Lift up your faces. Lift up your hands. Lift up your voices. Let's sing. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a good praise in this place today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bow your heads with me for just one moment. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment, but I want to circle back to that word. There are people, several people in our congregation, whether you're in this auditorium, whether you're watching by live stream, part of our family, there are several people God has called you to ministry. It's time to say yes to his calling. The Lord said, "Whom shall I send? Who will go?" And the prophet said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Come on, would you just put your hand over your heart? If you're the one that God is speaking about, speaking to, I want you to just in your heart, I want you to say, "Lord, here am I, send." Don't be afraid. Don't be, you'll never be safer. You'll never be happier. You'll never be more cared for. You'll never be more satisfied and joyful in life than if you say yes to God's calling. Why don't you just respond in your heart to the Lord and say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." It's all right if God takes you away from home for a little while. He might bring you back, he might not, but wherever you go, your home is with him. Come on, would you just say, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me." Thank you, Jesus. Father, right now I pray you'd confirm. Lord, I just see a feather duster, and I see you dusting off callings, Lord, that have been forgotten. Lord, I see you dusting off callings. I see you blowing the dust off, Lord, revealing them again, Lord, shining them again. Come on, just say yes to him. Say yes, 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 yes. Would you lift up your hands? Father, I thank you so much for your people. Lord, I pray, Lord, that in 2022, Lord, we would embrace our destiny. I pray we would grab the heel of destiny. Lord, I pray we would act our age. Lord, I pray that we would proclaim Jesus with signs and wonders following, Lord. Father, I pray we would live our calling in Christ. Live it all the way, not half-heartedly, but all the way. Lord, our bodies, our minds, our thoughts, our time, Lord, all of it all belongs to you, Lord. It's all available to you. And Father, I pray that we would hold on tight to Jesus until divine justice comes. Father, I ask that you'd bless your people. Lord, go with us this week. Let your presence surround us. Lord, let everything we touch prosper. Lord, let it bring a good result and a good financial return for the care of our families and the upbuilding of the kingdom. Lord, I pray we would walk in divine health. Lord, I pray there would be a perimeter, Lord, of divine health around your people. I pray that anywhere we go would be a COVID-free zone, Lord. Lord, you promised, you said that no disaster will come near our tent, Lord, and that none of the diseases of the Egyptians will you put on us. So, Lord, I pray you just cover us with Jesus' blood. Lord, let angels escort us this week. Father, until we come together again rejoicing. And everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a good praise. I want you to sing one more time. After you've sung, you can be dismissed. God bless you, everybody. God be with you. Bless you.